fundamentally, no matter what the size of the city, they're probably dealing with three vectors that they're trying to solve for. One is population growth. All cities are dramatically growing in terms of inward migration towards cities away from rural environments. It's no different in the United States. Two, as people move in, being able to move around, the mobility and transportation within cities are challenged because the funding, both to create the infrastructure that's needed or the physical space available to build infrastructure, is challenged or limited. And three, it's all about competitiveness. Cities are entities that are seeking to drive inward investment, both around enterprise and people. It's got to be a great place to live, work, and play. And therefore, cities do compete. Just like businesses, if you're not growing, you're dying. The same is true of cities. So all those three vectors are now coming together to say, well, if we're growing, your infrastructure challenged, you can't build your way out of this, and we want to be a thriving city in the future, they're turning towards technology to make it easier to move around, to be able to access information and services within the city easier, and to build new technologies and infrastructure that's going to, encourage inward investment and new companies to pick you above others as the place to grow and build.
Well, Franny, can you give us an example of something that might be happening here in Colorado, in Denver, or any of the other state cities that encompasses what Aidan has just been talking about how to use technology to make cities more livable around these areas of transportation and some of the bigger challenges as well, like climate change?
Well, I will tell you that, you know, we're looking at transportation right now in Colorado, and the issues that we just can't be laying down more asphalt in order to take care of the traffic issues that we have. So there's a lot of IoT-based solutions that are being looked at by CDOT to improve the experience so that we can more efficiently move around the city and the state.
Go ahead,
and I'll
Aidan.
Build on just a couple of practical examples, Maeve. If you look at, we've got a great light rail infrastructure now throughout our multiple city complexes here. But often to utilize that, it's about how you solve for the last mile. So driving collaborations, like in the city of Lone Tree here in Denver South, who has partnered with Uber to launch an on-demand microtransit pilot that they call the Lone Tree Link on Demand System, app-based connection, so you can solve for the last mile to get more people on light rail and therefore ease congestion on the major arteries like Highway 25. That's a very real, simple use of data and applications to move people. So we're also working with a police department here on one of the cities who are reimagining public safety around schools and how they're going to utilize technology from, gunshot detection to people monitoring to gas detection, and that it's perfectly portable to other areas, maybe like venues or concerts, so that these assets are multi-purposed and can be utilized right throughout the year for cost efficiency. I think there's two examples of what's going on that are really pragmatic and down to earth.
Well, Franny, you're part of the Colorado Technology Association, a statewide body. And are we seeing technology being used and available by communities around the state? Because we also often, in addition to inequity and economic inequity, we often talk about, the digital divide and the fact that many people in rural Colorado don't even have access to broadband and high-speed internet. So what's happening statewide regarding this?
Well, broadband is, and I don't have I can't tell you the map specifically, but broadband is definitely moving out into rural areas very quickly. I was just on the Western Slope last week and really found that as I met with technologists and citizens that we weren't hearing a lot of discussion about the access to broadband. I think the last to the curb continues to be an issue in some areas, but the bigger issue is making sure that it is reliable, and so I'm seeing that being built out. I take the view from a positive perspective that technology is actually the enabler for inclusivity. And so I don't look at it as creating a bigger divide. I look at it as creating access, easy access to citizens for more inclusivity.
And I'd just add on to that, Maeve, here's another big breakthrough. When cities and municipalities used to talk about infrastructure in the past, it was interlinked into concrete. You know, it was a road or it was a bridge or it was a major bypass or whatever. Now, all the way through their legislature, their planning, and their movement, they've broadened the definition of infrastructure to really include, you know, information technology and fiber and how that reinforces broadband. And as a result, you've seen the cities, even inside the Alliance and especially inside the Alliance, they've either undertaken major deployments already where they're digging and laying the fiber with either a Dish or a CenturyLink or a Zayo, who are all participant in the Alliance with these cities. And now you're really looking at this large expanded both fiber to cellular to open area networks to be this backbone of the technology that they can deploy. And I think that's been a big breakthrough on the cities just in terms of what they define as infrastructure.